afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Grace Hour. I'm Pastor Rinaldo Brown. I'm in studio with Pastor Shibeli, and we're talking about prayer all this week. And our closing thought this week on prayer is a rather maybe controversial or troublesome topic, unanswered prayer. You can join us today. You can call in at 1-800-338-7060 internationally or locally at 410-483-3700. You can also email us at questions@gracehour.org. You can also find us live at gracehour.org, YouTube, and Facebook Live as well. We're also featured on podcasts of Google, Apple, Spotify, Audible, Stitcher, and others. So we look forward to seeing you on either the podcast or live on YouTube or Facebook or gracehour.org. And today, we finish this week on prayer with unanswered prayers, and we begin with Pastor Shibeli.
It's an interesting topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unanswered prayer, because nobody likes to hear that.
No.
You know, nobody likes to hear like that God is not going to answer my prayer. But I don't think there's such a thing as unanswered prayer.
That's interesting.
I think basically God says yes,
mm-hmm.
or God says no. Hmm. Sometimes we are very much in a place where we're confused because we don't understand the no mm-hmm. at times, and we're mm-hmm. trying to get something else out of the no,
mm-hmm.
a partial yes, you know,
yeah,
or something
sure.
later or whatnot. But so prayer is always answered. And when Jesus prayed in the garden, if this cup can pass me by,
mm-hmm.
and nevertheless, I like that word, nevertheless,
mm-hmm.
not my will, but thine be done. So if I pray and it's not the will of God, then there's unanswered prayer. God is there to say yes and empower and be behind his perfect will.
Hmm.
And that is so important. So it was not the perfect will of God for Jesus to go around the cross,
mm-hmm.
to somehow avoid the cross and perform what needed to be done some other way. That was not going to happen. So unanswered prayer is God just saying no. Like, I mean, think about this. I've heard some people pray. Maybe I prayed this way myself at times. Like, God, like, I need this much in finances to make this happen.
Yes.
Well, my first question should be is, Lord Jesus, what is your will should this happen?
Hmm.
Rather than trying to say, I need this much money for this to happen, and I don't have any answer at all.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the real question would be, is that the will of God?
Mm-hmm.
So the key is going to be God's will. What is the will of God? And this is so important in Christians' lives, you know? I mean, what if Stephen was praying, Lord, deliver me from this death in Acts chapter 7?
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for the stoning of Stephen and the martyrdom of Stephen, Paul would have never watched a man have a vision for heaven while he was being persecuted and while he was being stoned to death. And I really believe that had a lot to do with the conversion of the Apostle Paul, pre-salvation work.
Mm-hmm.
So the prayer was not answered. And there's been many times in the Bible you can see this taking place where prayer is not answered because it's not in the will of God. So we've got to back up a bit and go into what is God's will.
Hmm.
This is the key. You know, some people will pray, God, you need to add to me a perfect man or a perfect woman. I want to get married.
Yep.
Well, wouldn't my first question be, Lord Jesus, is it your will that I marry? You know, that's an interesting
true.
Thing, because then maybe it's not God's will that a person gets married.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they are praying about the perfect mate, the other person, but no answer ever comes because maybe it's not the will of God. And that we've known many people, missionaries included, down through the ages, have not gotten married because they pursued God. Mary Slessor was a great example,
yep.
who was 85 years old, still in Nigeria
David
as a single
Brainerd.
Woman. And a lot of people tried to marry her too, you know?
Yes, sure.
And she just said, it's not the will of God. Now, that's not a normal situation. I understand that. So don't try to, you know, like make this into a normal thing that people should marry. Sometimes people are always using that so that they don't, they just live together. They're not going to get married. You know why? They don't want to face the consequences if something happens and a man has property and he marries a woman, she doesn't have any, and then they get married and he loses half of his property. So it's better to stay, you know, drink for them. It's in sin. It's sin and it's wrong. So sin is never the will of God.
Right.
Okay, that's for sure. And so the life of Jesus Christ and the will of God based upon the Word of God will really direct our prayer life.
Mm.
Is the Word of God directing my prayer life? This is so key. Because people can pray all kinds of prayers, but is it according to God's will in His Word?
Hmm.
Is it God's will in His Word? Like some churches, maybe they never get prayers answered in their lives because they have never said yes to the commission of God. Pastor Shal and I were mentioning this morning, Acts 1, 7, and 8 on the telephone. And he said to them that you should receive power. And you're going to use that power to go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, like say a church or a Christian doesn't care about lost people and does not care about missions. A church could care less about missions. They'd rather spend all of their money on bingo games or, you know, all kinds of activities that they present to the congregation to keep them happy and entertain with the lifestyle of the culture. And they never get involved with missions, and maybe they're praying now. They're praying for the sick and nobody gets healed. Or maybe somebody is praying that a person gets healed, but I want to say, not my will, but thine be done. Because maybe it's time that God is taking them to Himself. Is your prayer stronger than God's prayer? Here's my prayer. God, I want you to heal them. And God is saying, I'm bringing them to myself. I think God has a little bit of an advantage over me on what's going to take place. You know, so, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray when people are sick and people need to be healed. Of course we do, but we must add these words at the end of it. Lord Jesus, I really pray that this person would be delivered from cancer, that you would touch them and heal them. And your will is so key. Your will is so important. I want to say yes and be obedient and correspond to your will and be one with your will.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor. It's like what you're saying, there's wrong types of prayers or there's wrong ways of prayers that may lead me to not getting my prayers answered. So it's like James 4:3, you pray amiss. I wonder how much of my prayer life is sincere, but amiss. And we always assume amiss means something like selfish motive. But how much of my prayer life is good things that are reasonable and good to have, but may not be the will of God?
Exactly. It might not be the will of God.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. Was it God's will, you know, for Stephen to be martyred? Was it God's will for Paul to spend the rest of his life in prison? Well, if he wasn't in prison, would he have written those prison epistles, you know? And I think he was such a busy person in the kingdom of God that he'd have been just preaching and teaching and whatnot. And so he was sat down in a prison cell where he would write letters, and those letters became the very Bible that is inspired and then leads us and guides us in life. So maybe he could be praying. And it's not that anything wrong with praying, Lord, deliver me from this prison in 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Okay.
He could be praying that. But he's going to be really content with God's answer. I've learned to be content with God saying, not now, no, or maybe not now. What about if something's going to happen later, you know? Like, it could be like 10 years later, that's the timing of what's going to take place in a person's life. That's when the church is going to be planted. That's when a person is going to get delivered. That's when a person is going to get healed. That's when a person is going to find the perfect person to marry, you know? It could be time. It could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years or something. So it is, number one, what is the will of God? Number two, what is the timing of God's will? Okay, what is the timing of God's will? And so then we get all frustrated because we are throwing out this box of prayers, all kinds of prayers, praying and praying and praying and praying to meet our needs or to reveal God's will. There's the question. Is it mine? I'm praying for me, my needs. My prayer is self-centered. It's not God-centered. And this is an important principle, a prayer that is self-centered and not God-centered at all. What if it's God's will, you know, that Job is going to remain the way he was and whatnot? And yes, at the end, there was a healing that took place. But there's things that have happened in the Bible that we see that it was God's timing. It was God's timing when the prayer was answered.
Have you ever, like, in your life, in your walk with God, have you ever felt like God was not answering your prayer? And if so, going back to what you just said, how did you wait? Okay, you're praying, nothing's happening. We've all been there.
Yeah.
You're praying, nothing's happening, nothing happening. How did you wait for an answer?
Well, I think waiting on God is like someone once said from Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, waiting always is connected to serving. So I continue to walk with God in the plan that he has for me right now.
Okay.
And as I'm waiting on God, I'm walking with God. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in a place to be available to have God's timing take place in the answer to those prayers.
Mm.
In other words, like I just because this particular prayer is not answered doesn't mean I back off from my Christian walk with God, and I'm going to just sit down and wait until something happens according to my expectation, rather than just walking with God in truth, 2nd and 3rd John.
Mm-hmm.
Walk with God in truth. I am so overjoyed and joy and rejoice to find my children are walking in truth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to walk in truth, and then when God brings something in, that is the answer to the prayer, or if the answer is just plain no, It's just plain no. It's not going to happen. I mean, there were people that you read, missionaries that went overseas, like William Borden and different people, and they were just told very clearly by God and the Spirit and the Word that marriage was out of the question, that the kind of life they were going to be living, it was not going to work. Raising children in some of the places they were was not going to be that conducive to the missions and to the family life. So, you know, unanswered prayer. And I really think, could I say that there's really no such thing? Because God is always answering.
Well, you said that. And for us, we're reading Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock. And we're seeking and we're seeking. And there's a certain part that says, okay, keep asking, keep asking, asking. Because if you don't ask, God's not going to respond, which we both know is not true. But there's this thing where I'm asking and this posture that I take. You said I don't want to back off, number one.
Yeah.
You said number two, I want to continue to serve God as I'm waiting. But I was just thinking, okay, and then you said sometimes God is not answering because my motivation is wrong. I'm disconnected from the will of God. Mm-hmm. I've got a personal perspective about what I want to do. So I guess another question I would ask is, what about the enemy? I mean, we have it in Daniel 10 that there's warfare that could hinder my prayer.
That's for sure. I mean, you can see that the word hinder means to cut into my progress and my growth with God. So, of course, the enemy wants to, first of all, keep us from praying at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they say it's the most unattended church meeting in America, in American churches and even churches around the world. The two most unattended meetings are the prayer meeting and the evangelical outreach, talking to God about people, that's prayer, and talking to people about God. And by the way, they both go together because you got to pray about reaching out to people. So it's very important that prayer is really considered to be really an absolute. And you think about what they said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. There was a lot of trouble in the church between groups of people. Some were not getting fed, some were getting fed, the widows and all that. And they said, they came to the apostles with the question, and they said, like, well, it's not for us to leave what we're doing and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. So I'm going to continue in the ministry of the word and prayer. I'm not going to stop that because my prayers are not answered. And I'm just going to keep, you know, I'm going to pray about something. But what about, you know, the simple principle of Romans chapter 8 and 14 through 16, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God.
Yeah.
Like, are my prayers Spirit-led or are they soulishly led? There's a question. Like, is it led by the Spirit? Is the Spirit putting it on my mind and my heart? So if you're a Christian and you're not really in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit from the pulpit, from the Bible, and your study of the Bible in the body of Christ with the gospel, then maybe you'll never hear God. I hate to say it that way, but there's some people, maybe they never hear God. And so what they do is like they just pick straws, you know, and then they're looking for the longest straw or something like that, that game they play. But so I don't really care about the Bible. Here's a prayer that needs to be spoken first. God, give me a love for the word. When I'm praying, God, get me, you know, success in finances. You don't even care about the Bible.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Number one, I want your word. I want your will. Okay. I'm praying. I want your word. I want your will. I want to participate in the fellowship of the church. I want to evangelize the lost. See, they go away from the foundations of Christianity, and then they pray. And I'm wondering, like, why would God answer a person other than there's one prayer he will always answer, a prayer of repentance. They repent and they say, like, God, forgive me. And cleanse me of the sin of not reading your Bible, the sin of not praying, the sin of not going to church, the sin of not sharing my faith. Can anything happen if those things aren't going on?
Now, that's an interesting point you just brought up, because there's a certain genre of Christianity that believes God will not answer your prayers if there's sin in your life. That's the question. I'm gonna read a verse. I want you to think about this. In Isaiah 59:1-2, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear.
Well, two words, sin and iniquity. Sin is falling short of God's glory. Iniquity is a progressive evil in a person's life. So it's very clear that if I'm living in iniquity and sin, that how can I even know what God desires for me, or how can I even understand what I really should pray? Can I understand what to pray?
Great answer.
Because sin is like overwhelming.
Yes.
Sin has taken control of my life, and it's affected my decision making. And what I think is important is not. The first thing that should happen is, God, deliver me from sin.
Yeah,
deliver
me
from evil. And cleanse me. Cleanse me of all sin and all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9-10, 7-9. So very, very important that I have this prayer life with God where I am looking for God's mercy. I'm looking for God's mercy. I like the prayer of Hebrews 4:14-16 to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. I need grace because I need the person of God, and I need mercy because I need the finished work of the cross, his mercy, and that's the help I need. But if I'm always looking for like all these other things, and God will answer those prayers, but I think if I don't pay too much attention or care for the foundations of Christianity, and I'm not saying like maybe in the beginning of a person's walk with life they don't know much about those foundations, and God answers prayer, and there's the sovereignty of God, and there's the care of God, and like a little child praying, you know, and maybe they don't understand all the foundations, but they have a humble heart, there's meekness and there's humility, and prayer is answered, and it always is. I believe unanswered prayer, it's just a no, you know, it's a no, or it's a not now, it's a later, you know, or won't it all be answered when we get to heaven?
Well,
in one aspect,
I would like to say that all the boxes get ticked in heaven, but I want to go back a little bit about sin, because that's a huge thing there, unconfessed sin. And I like the way you said it. It's not so much that God does not answer the prayers of a person in sin, but that their prayers are wrong. The motivation is wrong. So they're not that he's not answering, but you're praying the wrong prayers. You have the wrong motivation. So God doesn't say, because you've sinned, I'm not going to hear you, because that goes against God's providential listening to the sinner's cry. So he is listening to the sinner's prayer, but sinners are praying the wrong prayers. They're praying amiss. So obviously it's outside of the will of God. It's outside of fellowship with God. And that's what it's talking about here. Because a lot of folks preach, Pastor, if you sin or you're living in sin, that and you pray, God doesn't hear that.
Well, that's interesting. So, I mean, like, sin can be a thought.
Yeah.
It can just be a thought that's separated from God's nature and character. And it's important for me when it comes to sin that I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. That would be the way I would start my prayer time with God. God, cleanse me of all sin and all unrighteousness. I start my prayer time not with my list of prayers, organic Christian prayers.
Sure.
You know, but I start with do I have a relationship with God Himself?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I have one. I'm born again. I'm positionally secure in that. But now in my experiential walk with God, I need to make sure that I come before God and say, God, there's things maybe I don't even realize, things that are happening in my life, like unveil them to me, show them to me. And you're not going to give me a stone if I ask for a fish or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. That God is a gracious, loving, merciful God. And so I come and say, God, I need forgiveness. I need cleansing. And if I think nothing is really going haywire in my life or wrong in my life, well, you can even show me if there's areas I don't even see. I don't see that this is actually sin. It could be that somebody could actually give money and it could be sin because it's not God's will for them to give that money. I've had somebody come to me one time and they wanted to give a lot of money. And I said, like, you know, you've got a very sick mother. And don't you think you ought to be helping her to pay the hospital bills? You know, and they thought about it and they prayed and they said, you know, you're right. Thank you.
Wow.
I'm not taking the money that would be used to help your mother with the hospital bills and take that away. And then who knows what can happen with that, the debt they go into. So prayer and really coming before God and saying, Lord Jesus, like reveal unto me, unveil to me. I want to be spirit-led in my prayer life. That is so key. That's Galatians 5:16-18, led of the Spirit, led of the Spirit. And really, really key, really key. Because, I mean, sometimes, you know, we've gone to prayer and we don't even know what to pray.
Yeah.
We don't even know what to pray. You know, it's like.
I like your beginning. Okay, let me cleanse myself. Let me make sure I'm right with God in the relationship. Before you begin the conversation, let me make sure I'm right.
Yes.
My motives are right. Our relationship is right. There's nothing separating us. Organizing myself.
Yeah.
I think it's F.B. Meyer tells a story of how he was pastoring a church, and Spurgeon and G. Campbell Morgan were also pastoring churches in the same city, and they both had full churches, and F.B. Meyer's church was half full. And he began to get envious of these two men, and God showed him that he was envious. So God told him to pray for Spurgeon and pray for G. Campbell Morgan. And when he began to pray for them, he repented for the sin of enviousness and he prayed for them. His church doubled simply because he understood that there was the sin of envious and bitterness in his heart. And the thing is, he wanted a bigger church. There's nothing wrong with that. And many times we always say to pray amiss is based upon evil intentions.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just, it could be a good intention that's not God.
Exactly. Exactly. So his prayer, really loving them, ministering to them, being thankful to God for their great results and their fruit and whatnot. And then what took place. And by the way, what if it didn't take place? So I want to deal with this sin of envy because maybe God has for me a 20-person church for the rest of my life or a 50-person church. Someone once said, I think it was Pastor Stephen said that, by the way, when you're one pastor and you have 50 people, you're almost over your head in it. No, really.
Wow.
In other words, like if you have 500 people, you better have a lot of pastors.
Yeah.
You better have a lot of pastors. You better have 10 pastors that can help because it's too much for any one person. You see these people with these massive churches, and I'm not against that. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there. But it's not just having a large church. Can I minister to people? Is there growth taking place? You know, in prayer. So, prayer, unanswered prayer, and prayer that's answered and prayer that's not answered. But how do we motivate ourselves and people to pray? Just the importance of praying that God hears our prayers. You know, He hears our prayers. And Elijah was a man of like passions. And he prayed, and the rain stopped. It stopped raining, you know, for 3.5 years. Like, I think I'd be a little bit upset with him if I was a farmer, you know, and whatnot. But, you know, he prayed, and God heard his prayer because it was in the will of God. Yes, those are miracles, but they're actual miracles as a result of God's power and God's life that's there. And it's incredible what can take place.
We'd love to hear from you on the Grace Hour today. You can call in at 1-800-338-7060 or locally at 410-483-3700, or you can email your questions to questions@gracehour.org. And we have some comments here. Chris Roosh has a question for you. Great. The Grace Hour, hi, pastors. I posted this comment yesterday, but Pastor Love didn't get to it. Anyway, my comment is, what do you guys think of Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9? He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination.
From hearing the law?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in other words, he doesn't care about truth and doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's made a decisive decision, a decision not to receive truth, the law is the Torah doctrine, then he doesn't care about what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, really, how can he fellowship with God who is the Word?
Mm.
So I think that's a very simple answer.
Yeah.
Very precise.
You know? Sure.
It's like, I don't care. I don't really spend much time and have no regard for the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, now I'm talking to the one who is the Bible, who is the Word of God, and he ever lives to make intercession for us.
Yes.
But what the Spirit's going to tell you is that, you know, you should go into the Word
and
look at the Word.
Yes.
Learn the Word.
There you go, Chris. There's the answer on that. How can you really, your prayers can be abominable because you simply turn away your hearing from hearing the Word of God.
I mean, what does abomination mean? Sometimes it's a very strong word that maybe we look at it like, what are they out there doing?
Mm-hmm. You know,
are they murdering people in mass? No. An abomination is just something that is contrary to the will of God,
okay,
the thoughts of God, and it takes on a progressive nature and gets to a place that it's continual, and it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
You know? So it's not just a single sin or a series of a few sins, but an abomination, that the life becomes something that's abominable.
I think it connects also with your other answer, from Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. That because I'm not listening to the Word of God and receiving from the Word of God, then my mindset is disconnected from God's mind, so my prayers are amiss. So my amiss prayers could be abominable. I've got the wrong motivation. You're not going to have the right words with the wrong motivation, not on a consistent basis, and maybe that's also another way to look at it as well. Hopefully that helps you, Chris. We got a comment from Pastor Perkins in Las Vegas.
Pastor Perkins?
Good morning from
Las
Vegas.
Are you praying for us?
Great to see you, he says. It's like Pastor Schumer says, greetings. Tess Flores says, the answers to all our problems can be had through prayer, contact with the Almighty God. Kindly intercede for my friend's husband named David, a young pastor, for healing grace and that he won't be needing dialysis. Thanks and regards from Malmo. So, Father, we pray right now for Pastor David, that you will move in his life, that you will touch him physically so that he doesn't need dialysis, and that there be another alternative for his health concerning his kidneys, God. We just pray that you intercede in that situation in your son's name. Amen. Also, Supila Raluca, thank you, pastors. Greetings from Brasov, Romania. You were just there, Pastor Belli.
Prayer I was?
In Romania, yes, you were. Praying for you, Pastor Shabelli. This is the Romanians praying for you. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call. Call in. We'd love to hear from you about this topic of prayer. Most of us, we read books about prayer. No one wants to talk much about prayer. And as Pastor Belli said, most of us don't pray. It's one of the few things in Christianity demonstratively that connects us to God that most of us, we don't spend a lot of time doing, to be honest with you.
Then you do have some people that they do spend a lot of time praying, but they never read their Bible and they don't go to church.
That's true.
You know, I've met people like that. They call themselves prayer warriors.
Yeah.
But they never read the Bible. So what is the direction of their prayer is the question. Where do they get direction and the mindset for their prayer?
That goes back to the Proverbs 28, verse 9. Yep.
Yeah.
Good connection. That's exactly correct.
So that's important that there's a balance, the word and prayer and the church and the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that... you know, it's very, very important to pray when it comes to the gospel and church planting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we've done a lot of that in Africa. And I remember the time I was in Ethiopia, really thinking that that's where God wanted me and my wife to be and where the ministry would start in East Africa. And after about 6 or 7 days, like, I just said to my wife, you know, I don't know about this place, but let's like give ourselves to prayer. Let's just pray. We'll evangelize. We'll go out every day and talk to people, but let's really be in a continual attitude of prayer. And then I just knew Ethiopia was not the place. I just didn't have any peace about it. And there was no response as far as I was concerned. I'm not saying other people haven't had a response there. But then I thought about Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And it became very clear that it was Uganda to go to. And there was a woman, a Filipino woman in Lenox with Dr. Stevens for years. And she was great in prayer. And she said, I was praying for Greater Grace World Outreach to come to Uganda. And I wasn't just praying for Greater Grace World Outreach to come to Uganda, but specifically for you to come to Uganda, not just anybody. So I thought, oh my God, this woman just like directed my life, or God did, but her prayers, you know. And I remember being with her in Uganda in the early days, and then all of a sudden she went home to be with the Lord.
Mm.
And I thought, God just used this person to get me to a place where we just came from. Didn't we just come from Uganda?
Yes. We did.
And prayer is so key. Sometimes we have all the right fundamental formulas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the fundamental formulas, but we lack any prayer time.
Mm.
We lack any thinking with God. We have thinking with God. We have a gospel message. Mm-hmm. We have church and body life, but there's no prayer. And maybe God just sits back and says, you know, I'm not really going to like see anything happen. You're not going to see anything happen here until you really understand the importance of prayer, of getting to with me alone. And it's the most unattended, especially in the West. We are so sophisticated and technologically advanced that it's almost like, who needs to ask God? We know how to do this.
Yeah.
We can handle this. We can do this ourselves.
Yeah.
Prayer? Oh, yeah, okay. Are you praying because you don't know what to do?
Mm.
No, even when you have perfect peace about what you should be doing, isn't it prayer? Isn't it prayer when I go out? Where should I go? Who should I talk with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who should I minister to? Who should I call up?
Mm.
You know, all these different things. And prayer is important in that. And I'm not saying I pray about whether I should, you know, eat this candy bar or that candy bar. I mean, you can, but some people get a little bit crazy with this thing. They get hyper-spiritual with all of that.
Let me ask you this question. I mean, let's believe that I believe in my heart I'm being led to pray. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, perhaps for years, and nothing is happening.
Well, what are you praying about?
I say I'm praying for someone's salvation. I'm praying for an open door. I'm praying for maybe, like you said, motherhood. Or I'm praying for marriage. I'm praying for someone that I know, I believe is the will of God for my life.
Yeah.
But there's no movement.
Do I take steps of faith also?
Okay.
In other words.
Speak to that.
Yeah. In other words, Peter's got to come out of the boat to walk on water.
Mm.
So I can pray. Like, I can pray, but do I believe the prayers I'm praying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm praying, God, make me a soul winner, but I never take a step of faith and evangelize anybody.
Okay.
Okay, so without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Mm.
Prayer is a great foundation, but what about stepping out by faith?
Mm-hmm.
I have to have faith in the Word, faith, prayer and faith, Word and faith, church and faith, gospel and faith. Mm-hmm. So faith is key. So if I'm just a praying person, and I say, well, God will do it and all that. Yeah, I understand that. But like, He has also made us ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel, good news to people. So I really believe that prayer and faith are key.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we see Acts, the book of Acts, we see prayer meetings, Acts 2:41 through 47, Acts chapter 3, 1 through 3, Acts 4, 24 through 37. You see prayer, but you see the apostles in the church moving, mixing faith, preaching in the synagogues and in Jerusalem, you know?
Mm.
And then they gave themselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer 6, 4 through 7. And you can see things taking place and going on and into Samaria and on it goes. So prayer with no faith, then really, I'm just saying a lot of words to God, but I have no intention in actually operating in the words I'm praying, or I'm praying and I don't realize that I'm the answer. Mm. I remember D.L. Moody spoke this one time, he was at a prayer meeting with three men.
Mm-hmm.
They were two other key men in Christianity. And he just kept hearing them say this one phrase, Lord, touch him. Lord, touch her. Lord, touch the sickness. Lord, touch, this soul that gets saved. Lord, touch, Lord, touch, Lord, touch. Woody got up and looked at the two of them. He says, can I say something to both of you with all respect? They said, yeah, you are the finger of God. You are the finger of God. In other words, I'm praying that people in Baltimore would get to know Jesus Christ, but I do nothing about the prayer.
Right.
Oh, we're having a prayer meeting, an all-night prayer meeting that people in Baltimore would get saved. What an awesome prayer.
Yeah.
But like, hello? Are you ever going to go and minister to people in Baltimore? Are you going to minister to people in Maryland or in America or in the rest of the world? Are you going to put some faith, some foot to the prayer? You know, it doesn't say how beautiful are the prayers of them. It says how beautiful are the feet of them.
Yes.
No. So prayer is important. It's a foundation like the word is and the church. Mm. But there's got to be faith. There's got to be faith and there's got to be this walk with God.
Okay.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
So pray. It's like I'm praying for this person in my family. Are you also loving them unconditionally by faith?
Mm.
Are you ministering to them? Are you helping them any way that you can?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in regards to that? And it's not works, it's just faith. Because faith works. So really the key is we have a message and now they're going to hear Jesus speak it in Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15, Luke 24, and they're going to go.
Yeah.
They've heard him pray. They've heard him pray in John 17, the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. It's an amazing prayer, you know. And yet there's gonna be activity in that prayer. That prayer would produce an activity of the Spirit.
Yes.
If a prayer is Spirit-led, then also the life would be spiritual and spiritually led in faith. They would go together. The Spirit's leading me to pray about this. And okay, and the Spirit's leading you to, what? Take a step.
Sure.
Of faith. So.
That tends to be the argument why a lot of folks find it the most frustrating part of Christianity is to pray and no results. To pray without, pray. Oh, you tell someone to pray, and you've been praying for something, you've got your list of things to pray about, and nothing is happening, potentially for years. The tendency is to put it down.
Well, how about this? Shouldn't prayer just be number one, a foundation of my relationship to God himself? Forget about getting all the answers first. Like, I am praying because Jesus loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I love him, and there's a relationship. When you talk to somebody, you talk to your wife, right?
Yeah.
You love your wife. She loves you. You talk to her, right?
Yep.
It's not about do this, do that. No, so I have a relationship with God in his word and in prayer and in the body and in the gospel, but it's to develop that relationship. That's the first part of prayer. Some people go to God to get answers, like, you know, he's got these prizes in the sky and whatnot.
Yes.
And that's all they want to use him for. And it's almost like maybe God would be saying, well, you don't really want me. You just want answers to your desires.
Yes.
You know, and is your desire me? There's the question.
Yeah. That's the question. Because most of us, when we pray, it's an ends to a mean. I pray, I get.
Yeah.
And so if you get counseled like that, okay, I want to do this. I want to get this. Okay, go pray. And then they do it and they don't get it. And then they say, okay, this doesn't work. There's got to be a different way. Right?
My prayer should be to get to know Jesus personally on a daily basis and be Spirit-led in my relationship with him. And that is the key. I think, by the way, prayer is also important when you have an open Bible.
Okay.
Because sometimes your mind can easily get distracted in prayer.
Right.
And you can like get tired, or you can start getting abstract thoughts in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But praying with an open Bible, I think, is very important.
Mm.
But really, like, the objective of prayer is to get to know God.
Okay.
What was John 17's objective? Jesus was talking to his Father.
Okay.
The whole relationship of John 17 is Jesus and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Just you read that prayer. It's amazing. It's incredible. What goes on and what goes on in that prayer and how many times he uses. certain words, the word given, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And so there's that relationship. Is he needs that relationship to be functioning in a very powerful way before he goes into the cross and the trials and the persecution and the afflictions. Mm. This relationship in prayer in the 17th chapter was the key. And you see it in the garden, in the book of Matthew and Mark,
yep.
and on. So you see that prayer is a relationship to God himself. And sometimes I think a relationship to God himself is just going to church,
mm-hmm.
or it's just reading my Bible. But I think it's all these four foundational truths we've been talking about.
Yes.
It's prayer, the word, the gospel, and the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then living in God's eternal purpose in all of them. So
beautiful. That's clear. That's really good as far as not seeing my prayer life as a litany of unanswered prayers,
yeah.
but rather the result of communication and a relationship with God, of which it's amazing when you have communication with people
yeah.
and things don't get resolved. You value the relationship over the unresolved
sure.
results. But when you yeah. when you pray, all of a sudden you're not getting things done. You just cut off communication with God completely.
Maybe it's not even God's will for what you know. You're praying for something. It's like not his concern right now. He's not really interested in your prayer because your prayer is somehow either promoting you or wanting mm-hmm. something that you think is important.
Mm.
And he might say something totally different.
Yes,
you know, something totally different might take place. You know, and I read about the life of William Borden is a great example that he went on the mission field and he died on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother thought, like in her prayers to God, what a waste. This is one of the most brilliant young men in mission work there ever was. And he didn't even get to the mission field.
Hmm.
And when they sent his coffin back, it had those three statements, no regrets, no reserves, no retreats.
Mm-hmm.
100 men took his place.
Mm-hmm.
See, prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer did that. I mean, look at that as tragic.
Yes.
That's tragic. And it is. Of course it is for the mother and for that to happen, but the results were incredible
mm-hmm.
that took place. And really, prayer and what is God's thoughts on prayer and being led
mm-hmm.
by God in prayer? This is key.
Mm. Amen. It's been a great day talking about prayer and unanswered prayers. One of the key reasons why many folks give up on prayer
mm-hmm.
is because of the perception that prayers are not answered or they're unanswered. But as Pastor Belly has talked about today, there's a lot of God always answers prayer. We might not always like his answers. And sometimes our prayers are either amiss or sometimes it's just waiting. It's not right now. George Mueller
mm-hmm.
waited for 5 men when he got saved. 3 got saved in the first 2 years. Two got saved in the first 2 years. Another one got saved after 10 years. One got saved just before he died. And then within 10 years of his death, the 5th person got saved. He waited 60 years for 5 friends to get saved.
That's called patience.
Waiting on God. So, Pastor Billy, I believe you're traveling this weekend.
I'm going to Pastor Lance.
Okay.
I don't know the name of the place. I think it's Amsterdam or it's
Amsterdam, New York.
Yeah.
Pastor Lance Borofsky.
Yes.
Okay.
Wasn't sure the exact location, though. I got to pray.
Okay. Pray and write in. We'll find out where he's at. You can see Pastor Billy this weekend in New York at Pastor Borofsky's church in New York. You see him there. Don't forget this weekend we have services 3 times a week. It'll be Wednesday. It'll be Sunday morning, Sunday twice on Sunday morning, and once on Sunday night at 6025 Moravia Park Drive
mm-hmm.
at Greater Grace in Baltimore, Maryland. We'll be there Sunday mm-hmm. at 9, 11, and 6:30. Love to see you there. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Pray, pray, pray.